By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a faith-building journey into God's word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
God is really, really going to change our mindsets in very strong ways tonight. Can I have the brothers say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't shout yet, though. We don't know how the flight will be. Hallelujah. When you come for Koinonia, just be solemn and let the word direct you. Hallelujah. But I know we will be blessed. You know, I have a very creative mind. And so every time I sit down, in minutes, my mind just goes off, just thinking of so many things. Hallelujah. My mind can travel around the world in seconds and return back. It's a gift of God to me. And so I imagine a lot. You can just imagine. When I sit down, I think of so many things at the same time. And while I just sat there all through the service, I was just thinking, my goodness, look at what God is doing in the lives of people. Let me tell you something. When you permit the word, please project Lamentations 3:27. Let's just look at it. It's a scripture we have come to be very familiar with. Can you hear me outside? You need to hear me. If you're hearing me outside, can you say amen, please? God bless you. Thank you very much. Lamentations 3:27. Can we read together? One, two, read. Please read it again with conviction. One, two, read. The Bible says it is good. There are a few things in Scripture, or a few times in Scripture, when the Bible says something is not good. Like the scripture Aaron shared, it is not good. And there are some things that God tells you it is good. Hallelujah. This is one of the things. It is good that a man bear his yoke in his youth. That means bearing your yoke is a non-negotiable requirement. It's not whether you will bear it. The question is when. A man must bear his yoke. But the Bible says the advantage you have is the advantage of time. Hallelujah. That it is good. It is good that a man bear his yoke in his youth. Brothers and sisters, this is what we are doing. We are laboring in the word and in prayer. And our labor is not in vain at all. The Bible says, though the vision tarry, in the end, it will speak. Hallelujah. Only fools look for comfort at the time of training. When you watch an athlete, a world-class athlete being trained, he doesn't seek comfort at that level. But when he wins the medal, he can pop up the wine and dance and rejoice. I guarantee you, if you stay with God, you will rejoice. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. A man does not bear his yoke twice. You can bear it in the days of your youth. Pay that price once and for all. And live the rest of your life in beauty and glory. Or enjoy the momentary satisfaction right now. And spend the remaining part of your life paying the price. And let me tell you, as the years advance, the price increases. It's not the same. I choose to pay the price now, whatever it will take. It's a decision I have made that no matter what it will take, I'd rather pay the price now and injure myself while doing it. No problem. I'm young enough. Hallelujah. But when you injure yourself at 70, that's a terrible time to sustain any injury. Many of our parents are now thinking of paying the price. Hallelujah. Haven't spent the most fruitful part of their lives. So please and please take seriously what we are doing here. We are not just running a program that must necessarily run every week. This is a programming. God is doing something to you. He's replacing your ideologies with a higher value system. That's what we shared last week. Your kingdom come. He's enforcing the principles, the ideologies of the king. You can imagine this little girl. Imagine what this lady will look like under this kind of atmosphere in the next 10 years. She will not know any other language or culture. For her, it's not renewal. It's growth at once. There's nothing to renew there. We are the ones who need to renew a lot of junk that we spent our lives receiving. So please pay attention in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whenever the word is about to come, that's not the time to be distracted. Here and there you may interact with your neighbor and enjoy the meeting, but be very focused. The days of our ignorance God overlooked, but when knowledge comes, you become responsible for that part of your life. Hallelujah. Many of us are representing children that will come in the future. Many of us are representing generations. There are so many for every one of us sitting here. There is at least a nation depending on your concentration. Hallelujah. When they looked at the womb of her that was with child, they said there are two nations. There were just two little children there, but they said there are two nations. Only God knows how many nations are represented here. And if you don't listen well and understand well, you will teach that error to a whole generation. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, Spirit of the Living God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I receive grace to bear my yoke in my youth. Ephesians 5. The mystery of marriage. The mystery of marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. One of the tragedies that have plagued our generation over time. Please listen before we read that scripture. One of the tragedies that has plagued our generation is that many of the things we do today, we were not mentored and taught into it. Hallelujah. Either we were wrongly mentored or not mentored at all. We didn't have patterns that we will be able to follow. Hallelujah. 90% of people who ever get into anything marriage, they've not read one book about marriage. Hallelujah. The only exposure that most people have over the issue of marriage is just marriage counseling. That is maybe 2 weeks, and they just share some basic things. You never excel in an area you are not trained for. You must be trained, skilled, anointed, or gifted in that area to ever excel. You never excel in anything by luck. No. You don't get a degree by mistake. You stay through and pay the price for a season. You don't become an adult by mistake. There are definite things you keep doing. Hallelujah. Please, let me tell you something. Never run your life, any area of your life, based on luck. It's too risky. It becomes riskier when you carry others along. Are you getting my point now? God did not structure the kingdom to work on guesswork. The kingdom of God is a well-organized structure. with systems that reflect the ideology of the king. And when you subscribe to his ideology in any system, you will find righteousness, you will find peace, and you will find joy. Hallelujah. Tonight we want to hear what the king has to say about the mystery of marriage. And it's not necessarily a marriage and relationship talk. We're exploring the mysteries of the kingdom. This may probably be the last of them. That's why I decided to give it a title, because I don't just want to say Mysteries of the Kingdom Part 4. This is very, very serious. The mystery of marriage is not at all talking about love between a man and a woman necessarily. Because Paul begins to tell us that it's an adumbration of something greater than just a man and a woman. And if you understand the mystery of marriage, not only will you truly be a good husband or a good wife or a good father or a good mother, but you will also be a very effective Christian, because it will teach you the revelation of koinonia. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, please. Let's read verse 31. There's a lot to talk about. I'll be so fast. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5. Please, I want you to humble yourself as you listen tonight, whether you are married or not. No man outgrows the need for greater knowledge. At every level, there is still more that we can add to our lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 5 verse 31. Are you ready? 1, 2, read. And shall be joined, and they too shall be, very sensitive words. For this cause, that's going to be our first discussion. So the Bible never said the man will just come and meet a woman because he wants to marry. It said for this cause. That means there is a revelation that sponsors this action. And if you do not know what the cause is all about, then you can never be effective in marriage. Everyone say for this cause. What cause? There was something he had been explaining down to chapter 30. That's the cause. And on the strength of that revelation, verse 31 now says, for this cause. That means in light of what has been aforementioned, whoever has understood the prior revelations alongside the implication of walking in them is qualified to fulfill 31. Are you getting my point now? For this cause. Not, it didn't say for a cause. So you don't choose it. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to who? His wife. It says, and they too. Notice, it didn't say shall come to his wife. It didn't say shall have children to his wife. He uses a very strange word. He says shall be joined to his wife. And they too shall become not just one spirit, but one flesh. 32. This is Paul speaking. He said, this is what? This is a great mystery. I told you a mystery is a hidden truth. The moment you see that something is a mystery in scripture, it means you are going to have to depend on the Holy Ghost totally to give you the explanation. It's not just left to experience. Are you getting my point? The Bible tells us marriage is a mystery. That means in that revelation of marriage, to be effective, both physically, husband and wife, and spiritually, your relationship with God, it will take the illumination of the Holy Ghost. And tonight we are going to explore it. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning what? Christ. And that means marriage is a reflection of something greater than the home. Marriage is a reflection of something greater than the desire of a man to a woman who get married and decide to spend their lives together. If we understand the mystery of marriage, you will understand the mystery of spiritual power. You will understand the mystery of fellowship and intimacy with God. You will understand the mystery of authentic Christianity. Failure to understand this will produce failure in every aspect of your life, both in the home and in your spiritual life. Say amen. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Hallelujah. The first thing I want us to examine tonight, the Bible talks to us about a number of things. When you read from Ephesians, especially chapter 4, and then you start up, no, really chapter 5, from verse 22, we're going to look down. You read it down to 33. It explains a few things. Number one, it tells us the concept of marriage. What is the concept of marriage from the kingdom's perspective? Not just from Africa's perspective, not just from Nigeria's perspective. What is the concept of marriage? Like Aaron shared here when he was off the stage, he said it was not man's initiative at all. Number two, I'll be talking about something that I feel is very sensitive and will bless us. Not only does God tell us about the concept of marriage, He reveals to us how a man can find this woman that becomes his bride. God did not leave us to guesswork and chance. Hallelujah. Number three, the Bible in this scripture reveals to us the partners and the persons involved in this union called marriage. Hallelujah. Because there are so many people who are uninvited guests and are now being initiated and invited to be part of this sacred union, this revelation of marriage. Tonight we are going to be exploring who are the parties and the persons involved. Who and who must be involved for a union to be called marriage, whether spiritually or physically. Number what now? Number four, and I think this is where I'm going to dwell in, the roles, the codes of conduct, and the privileges that are associated with this mystery called marriage. The roles of the various participants, the privileges, and the code of conduct. The kingdom is a well-organized structure. And it has codes of conduct. It doesn't leave us to guesswork. You will be so blessed tonight. And the Lord is going to be taking away a lot of religion, especially from many of us brothers. I will be on your case tonight because you must be award-winning husbands in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are smiling. Carry your notebook. Are you ready now? The Bible says, for this cause. Let's explore what that cause is. What is the cause really? What is it? Because if you do not understand that cause, the Bible never said, you know, we don't talk, please go back to verse 31. We never talk about the cause. We just say, therefore, shall a man. That's not accurate. Hallelujah. The issue of a man leaving his father and mother is on the strength of his understanding this cause. Everybody say, for this cause. Brothers, shout, for this cause. What does that mean? For this cause. It means because of the above reason, or being aware of the previous statement and being prepared to abide by the conditions. Understanding the full implication of ignoring them. That means if you say, I am ready to leave my father and my mother, you must have understood thoroughly what Paul had to teach about a man or a husband a wife, their roles, the participants involved. On the strength of that, you say, Lord, for this course, I have understood it and the implication, and I'm ready to take a step. How many people who walk up and down, dreaming day and night of marriage, and they do not understand the cause? For this reason, on the strength of this revelation, number one, the concept of marriage. The Bible clearly shows us that marriage is the union between a man and a woman. A man and a woman. Please write it. You must write man and woman. Write it. The Bible clearly tells us. Please, let's settle some confusion once and for all. The Bible tells us marriage is the union between what? Who and who? Not a man and an animal. Not two men in love with one another. Not two ladies fantasizing about one another. A man and a woman. The second revelation about the concept of marriage is that that union must happen in the presence of their parents or the representatives. It said, therefore, a man. In that whole picture, we see that there is man, there is woman, there is father, there is mother. No back door. Right? We are exploring the ideologies of the kingdom. So it matters that in marriage, there must be the witnessing by either father or mother, or in an event where they are absent, representatives that are delegated to stand in their stead. Listen, in scripture, the role of the parents is even higher than the role of the priest that joins the marriage. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Very important. The Bible recognizes, in fact, when you read all through scripture, the blessings that come from father and mother to their children is part of what solidifies the union. Not even necessarily the blessings of priests. Are you following me tonight? So the union between who? Father, okay, husband or man and woman, really, in the presence of father and mother. Meaning that the father and mother, in the ideal sense, are the ones who are supposed to train and raise the children to understand that cause. The Bible says, for this cause. So according to God's pattern, the father and the mother should be involved in raising the children to maturity. And they release them now, being satisfied like a lecturer that releases a student to be awarded a degree program. And the student stands to defend himself before he is released. And on the strength of the lecturer's satisfaction, a recommendation is given. We call it a degree. And he says, you can go and get a job anywhere. Are you getting my point now? That means when the man and the woman fails, who is to blame? Are you getting this now? According to God's structure, when a marriage fails in an ideal sense, the parents are to be held responsible. Because forget about what has happened in our society. I'm telling you God's original pattern now. Are you getting my point now? Don't feel bad. Don't hate your parents. No. That's why God is correcting it. Parents do not just have the responsibility to build children. No. They are supposed to train and build them. Are you learning something tonight? Any marriage that is done without the witness of a parental presence is not recognized by heaven. Let me tell you straight to the point. Please don't confuse what the westernization and the rest has brought. God's accurate pattern of marriage. This is why when you are giving a woman in marriage, they say, who gives this woman? She didn't just come from the jungle into the church. In other words, who trained her? Who certified her to be qualified to be a woman and a prospective mother? Hallelujah. The parents are the ones who must prepare the woman. They take the lady from being a girl to being a woman. They transit the man from being a boy, naive, void of knowledge, to a place of responsibility. Hallelujah. Now notice, another revelation again is that marriage is between a man and a woman. Everybody say man, woman. Although they are children, they are not toddlers. Are you getting my point? That tells you that the adumbration of marriage and marriage is not a new birth concept. It's deeper than new birth. Because as newborn babies, we are fed on the milk of the word. But marriage is an affair of people who have sustained maturity. Please, are you getting this? Paul calls it a great mystery. The Bible says, an heir as long as is a child, differeth not from a slave, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed. Marriage is the clearest revelation to man, that's the church, about God's intention as far as intimacy is concerned. Intimacy and oneness. Marriage is the technology that brings two people into oneness. Oneness in the flesh. Physical oneness. Recognized by heaven. Brothers and sisters, this is the concept of marriage from God's standpoint. It may sound very simple, but you see, the danger is when you ignore the principles of the kingdom, there are severe consequences. It's not that God punishes you. The structure has been designed that way. Hallelujah. Another revelation about the concept of marriage. Please project. That very verse is so rich, and there is a lot to learn. Who leaves his father and mother, ladies and gentlemen? One more time. Men, say it. Who leaves his father and mother? What is the revelation of leaving your father and mother? It's not rebellion. It's called responsibility. Are you getting me? Leaving your father and mother is a spiritual communication that you have attained a state of responsibility where you can now build a niche for yourself and continue. Did you know in scriptures, men were called and traced to their fathers? Saul, the son of Kish. Are you getting my point now? So a man must leave his father and mother. What that means is that you must relinquish dependence on them financially, spiritually. You must be able to stand. You must have gained structure enough to now lead another generation, another family. This on its own is a revelation we can spend the whole night talking about. All the brothers say responsibility. Write it and underline it. I'll be dealing with it in the course of this teaching. Responsibility. That means, listen, that means that there are certain, maybe by next week I'll teach on the gospel of salvation versus the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation is the gospel that saves men. That's the gospel that reveals the substitutionary work of Jesus and his work of grace and mercy. In the gospel of salvation, man does not do anything. All he does is to receive by faith the free gift that Christ gave as a substitute. But in the gospel of the kingdom, it translates you to take advantage of that grace and begin to function in responsibility as an ambassador with the king. So in that one, You now do the work on the strength of what Christ has done. I hope that we'll have time and we'll talk about that. Listen, the gospel of salvation is only one tenth of God's universal agenda. Although, listen, it is very important because that's the gospel that brings you into the kingdom. But to just dwell on the gospel of salvation, that's where you talk about the grace of God. Everything has been done. He died for you. You received His life. Now you are joint heir with Christ. That's the gospel of salvation. But when you transit to spiritual maturity, there is a shift from Christ being Savior to Christ being King. At that point, you are initiated into the gospel of the kingdom. And in the gospel of the kingdom, you now begin to understand on the strength of your intimacy with Christ that God has an agenda and that He seeks envoys through which He can carry this agenda with. And there are conditions. Hallelujah. Marriage is a very powerful mystery that reflects Christ and the church. The second thing I want us to look at very quickly, the Bible does not leave us in the dark as to how a man should find a woman that becomes his bride. If God instituted marriage, are you getting my point now? That means there should be a structured system through which a man should be able to meet his bride. Is that correct? The same way Christ adumbrated it. Christ left His Father to prove, are you getting my point now? To prove that He has satisfied the condition. And then He came and through a technology, He looked for His bride, the church. Sons of Solomon. Let's look at something there. For many of you, that will be the first time you are reading it. Sons of Solomon is after Ecclesiastes. Sons of Solomon chapter 3. Sons of Solomon is such a sensitive book. Just read the only part I ask you to read. I'm not ready for trouble this night. Praise God. If I say verse 6, read only verse 6. If I say verse 2, read. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sons of Solomon chapter 3 from verse 1 to 4. Very interesting scripture. Brothers, open your eyes. God is about to answer your prayer right now. Wake up. Your destiny is about to change. This is not just a story about romance. I told you the mysteries of the kingdom have the operation of the kingdom hidden in stories and parables. You can look at the romance and be ecstatic about it. But when the Holy Ghost guides you, you can draw forth the spiritual principle. And this is what you want to look at. By night on my bed, I sought Him. This is a woman. This is the contemplation of the bride. Ladies, listen. This is a woman's heart now. Solomon. How he entered the heart of a woman to draw forth her contemplations by night. Are you getting my point now? By night on my bed, this is the church, the bride of Christ. I sought Him who my what? Soul loves. This is very important. Sensitive words are beginning to come into the equation now. He said, notice, he didn't say who my eyes delight in. Your soul has already loved the person and you have not seen him. This is the spiritual technology behind love that is genuine, not lust. She has not seen the husband, but planted in her is the ability to love him, and is from the soul realm. That means it's not tied to money. It's not tied to what you have seen. This is a woman thinking on her bed. How did her soul start loving someone she had not seen? Are you getting my point now? All through from the Garden of Eden, through the law and the prophet, man began to seek for one whom his soul loves. Are you getting my point? To seek for a way and a kingdom and a system. and they began to do all kinds of rituals. It was this contemplation. Why was it by night? Because that was the season of man's fall. Are you getting my point now? In need of redemption. The night time talks about the time of darkness. Talks about the absence of knowledge and salvation. He said, I sought him, but I what? Sister, you will never marry until you are ready to love. Are you getting my point? So, the equation about their meeting together does not even start with the man. It starts with the woman. Please, are you following me? I show you a mystery. The woman is busy thinking in her heart. Verse 2. I will rise. Everybody say, I will rise. Say action. Say cooperation. The woman would have died there on her bed. She said, look, this passion, this is genuine love. Oh, look, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Inasmuch as we avoid emotional ecstasy, I'm going to be addressing things that will bless you. When the love of God, as far as marriage is concerned, is upon you, listen, that love becomes a priority. This lady was contemplating for so long, she could not lie down and sleep there. She said, look, I will arise and go about in the street. Have you seen love drive a brother before? Rain does not matter. Sun does not matter. Listen, if you don't have that kind of love, your marriage cannot work. That is the kind of love that gives excuses. That's the kind of love that gives excuses for everyone's wrongdoing. There are many people getting into marriage whose level of love is not passionate enough to get them to that realm. Please listen, because God is answering someone's prayer now. There is no managing in marriage. It's better to fail in life and make it in marriage. The Bible uses marriage as a yardstick to show whether a bishop is a good bishop or not. Not praying in tongues. A bishop must be a husband of one wife, able to keep his family. Marriage is that serious. I will arise and go about to the city. He said, and in the broad way I will seek him again, whom my... That means there is an imprint in her heart. She's just looking for the face that will match that imprint. Are you getting my point? Ladies, how many of you get into relationship purely because of what your eyes see? Genuine love starts from your spirit, man. Genuine love starts way before any man appears. It's not that you see somebody tall, dark, and handsome. All of a sudden, you cannot sleep. There is a character and a nature of love that is welled up in you. Are you getting my point, please? I sought him, but I found him not. Verse 3, let's hurry up. The watchman, this is a powerful revelation. In a bid to look for someone, please, lady, sister, anybody. Thank you. Watch this. This lady is looking for the person her soul loves. Now, in a bid to search, there are certain people she met on the way called watchmen. Are you getting my point now? These watchmen, the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him that my soul loveth? That means in a bid to communicate this desire, she met an evangelist. She met a man of God. She came for a meeting. These watchmen have the ability to channel her to the true love. Please, is someone following? And the Bible says, verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. After she met and encountered this watchman, after a season, many things happened during her encounter with the watchman. And she found this one that her soul loved. And she said, I held him and will not let him go. She had found the love of her life indeed. No confusion. It says, until I had brought him to whose house? The woman that trained me. The woman that qualified me to get into marriage. To my mother's house. And into the chamber of her that conceived me. This is not romance at all. This is a very deep spiritual communication. So the process starts with God, who is able to put that desire. Are you getting my point now? If that desire is not planted in you, sister, you may never truly get married. Please believe what I'm saying. It's not just the issue of no man wants to ask me out. It started with God putting a desire. When God puts that desire, all these 2 years of posting men and say, I'm thinking about it, is either he's not the one or he's the one. As simple as that. When she found the person her heart truly loved, she knew it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, I want you to see the level of passion. I loved him. I held him. Are you getting my point now? Look, that level of love cannot happen in a human sense. It takes the Spirit of God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Do you see that many of the things we call love in marriage and relationship truly is not that God kind of love? I'm not just talking of agape. That love that God plans, a man for his wife and a wife for that man. Let me tell you, I want to give you a litmus test very clear. Ladies, if the guy you are thinking of saying yes to, if you are not passionate about him in love, pack your load and leave quickly before you say yes. That love is the ingredient that will sustain that relationship through the thick and thin. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? It's not enough to love a woman or love a man. You must have passion. The Bible describes it as fire, not lust. Because you saw a nice lady figure eight, not lust. Remember that this love we are talking about started before she even looked at him. That was why the day you gave your life to Christ, you knew it. You knew you had found something. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Lust usually thrives just on the senses. Are you getting my point now? When you see a lady looking hot, looking fine, you are not even sure of what you have now, whether it's lust or is it her physique that attracted you. So many brothers just see a lady looking nice and hot and you say, I love this girl. In 2 minutes, you see a perfect stranger. They call it love at first sight. Nonsense. Spiritual things don't work like that. That's destruction at first sight. A man who meets a lady, listen, remember, we are still discussing for this course. You just see a perfect stranger. You've never seen her. You just come, what's your name? Taiwo. Say, Taiwo, I'm in love. Ah! Hold on. Listen. In as much as you see the person and connect with the person, to just look and say, I am asking you out. Give me an answer now. We are going to spend the rest of our lives together. Are you stupid? Do you know the implication of staying with one person? One! Use 5 years to finish your degree. You almost killed the whole school before you graduated. Now you want to spend the rest of your God-given life to get old together, to wake up and see the same person at the side of your bed. It's a great mystery. God must help you. It's not given to man. I'm telling you, you will be tired if this love does not come from the Spirit. I don't care what you saw, it will fade like a leaf. That's why a brother can see a lady right now. Oh, you saw a lady at a dinner. Aaron, my blood is hot. What is wrong? Oh God, give me this person. 2 weeks later, she removed her weave on. And you just pass her as if you didn't see her. Aaron says, make progress. They make progress. I'm pressing into God now. That's the excuse people use. I'm pressing. I need, please, don't distract me. I need to press into God. The same guy that is pressing into God 1 week later is seeing another person again. The retreat is over by force. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you something. Sisters, if you are really a spiritual lady, you will understand when seasons. A brother should not really come and just, of course, there are principles of friendship, building intimacy. But I'm telling you, a brother shouldn't just come and take you unawares. Where did you keep your spirit? There are seasons. Hallelujah. You are prepared from your prayer life and the dealings of God in that season. You begin to sense that kind based on the dealings of the Spirit. I'm already beginning to sense the release. So you go to pray, and all of a sudden Aaron flashes your mind and you're like, Jesus, I bind it. What is going on here? I have found whom my soul loves. Please let me talk for a few minutes about this love thing. If you are not passionate, sister, how many of you have seen a lady who a guy calls by 11 o'clock and she's quarreling him? I'm tired. Why will you call me at this time? And you say, I'm sorry. You know what, all this loyalty that guys do when they are waiting for years. And the lady is now raking. Please, I'm tired. I will talk to you later on. As tired as she is, another brother calls 10 minutes later. Before he finishes, hello, how are you? I mean, her expression cannot even be hidden. Her heart suddenly jumps to her face and her voice. And the guy knows that she has been missing and waiting for that call. Network calls, you quarrel because of credit. Now you are calling by yourself. Say, no, no problem. You have been trying. Truly, let me tell you. Listen, when you get married to the person your heart truly does not love, you have signed a record of unfaithfulness forever. You will struggle. I don't care whether you are anointed with fire on your head. Believe what I'm telling you. That's why when you marry because of money, you saw the guy and he told you that I just came back from Dubai. I have some buildings around. I have a lot of this, and your heart just melts. Your mother says, let's pray. Say, mommy, please. You have been taking decision for me all the days of my life. This one, I'm stamping my feet. I must marry him because you want the money. And then the money does not go again. The money disappears and you find out that your heart is not safe to love him again. Everybody say passion. Everybody say love. When you marry the person you genuinely love, you can sit together and drink garri, even if you stay in a thatched house, and you find fulfillment and satisfaction. When you marry somebody you don't love, you give excuses over everything. If you're already married, there's nothing you can do about it. Just trust God to paint the cross for you to the color you want. But that cross, you must carry it. Is someone getting blessed? I'm not necessarily speaking in a marriage and a relationship talk. I'm just trying to show you how marriage relates Because in a standard marriage system, there are things we are going to talk about. Issues of divorce, issues of all of these kinds of things. Another thing we see is that there was a seeking. Everybody say a seeking. Both on the part of the man. The part of the lady is not really seeking as it were. It's positioning. Write it. You position yourself to be found. And the man seeks. There are all kinds of arrogant men who are too proud to seek. You will remain unmarried. I tell you the truth. Jesus said, I came to seek and save this my bride called the lost. I came to seek. He told the prophet, go and look for a prostitute. Go around, seek. You will find this prostitute called Gomer. Marry her as an adumbration of my desire to be reconciled to this my bride. Ladies, tell the men, seek. Shout it. Say, I'm a hot cake. Ladies like me all around. Seek, my brother. Open your eyes before they fool you with good looks. Seek by the Spirit. You don't seek blindly. How do you seek? You shall seek me and find me. When you go for retreats, that's seeking. When you read a good book, you are positioning yourself to seek well. Shout, seek. There are many brothers yelling at the gates of heaven, day and night. Oh God, this and that. Get up and seek. And sister, position yourself. It's not enough to say, why wouldn't this brother look at me? See, it's a spiritual atmosphere. When you are not ready for relationship, it's like a magnet. It pushes people away. To be ready doesn't mean I like a man for this cause. Have you positioned yourself? We have to run. The Bible reveals three ways that connections are made for marriage and relationship. Number one is desire and passion. Desire. Genuine, godly desire and passion. Please, everything I'm saying here is tied to the kingdom. Not everyone is going to see a vision about his wife. And it doesn't mean you are not spiritual. Say amen. Now look up. Not everybody is going to see a vision. You were just standing and all of a sudden, you saw this welfare lady cooking. And God says, arise. Arise. Why sittest thou here? Go and take your position. He said, nay, Lord, but I am weak. And God will say, no, you are not weak. If that's what you are waiting for, you may be disappointed. God can plant a genuine passion. Listen, please. You are a worker in the house. Right? Faithful worker. I'm not talking of careless. You are not contributing anything to the kingdom of God and you want to reap every harvest that others are working for. You must genuinely participate in kingdom building. One day suddenly you find out genuine desire. Please remove lust from it. You see that you notice that there is an unusual desire and passion for patience. Come, patience. Unusual desire. Now watch this. When this happens, brothers, it's too early. Many of you don't have self-control. Once you feel anything, you land it till the lady lands it back at you. Be temperate. Don't just say, let me ask first, so before another person will come and ask. You don't know whether she's in a relationship. You don't know whether what, you just go and disgrace yourself. The Lord told me you are the one. She said, sorry, we are getting married next week. And you carry, you now feel stupid. You feel irresponsible. A word spoken in due season. Ladies, shout due season. There is a due season, my brother. So God can use a simple godly desire. I've seen this lady. I connect with her in the spirit. And over time, as you build friendship, please bless you. Many brothers don't even understand the concept of friendship. They just come and say, stranger, you are my wife, I will marry you. Go and pray about it. I'll hear tomorrow. What sort of nonsense is that? It's very rude. It may not, it has worked for others, but I'm telling you, it's very rude. You don't walk up to a lady and just say, you are my wife. Pray about it. That's bullying. Especially if you're a man of God or you're a great person. Don't use position to intimidate ladies. Is someone learning something tonight? Desire and passion. There are many of us that you find yourself having a godly, genuine desire for someone. And some of us are very embarrassed. Suddenly you're embarrassed that somebody you're always praying with. Guy, why am I? And now you go to pray. You find yourself looking at ushers. You are trying. And see, there are brothers that come here by 3 o'clock and still sit outside. Everybody say passion. Because the person they are waiting for has not come. And they say, look, let me pay that price. What is it? If this is a cross I must carry, I must carry. That passion is very good. Because the day the lady breaks her hand, or the day they carry out a surgery on her, that passion will sustain your love. There are many ladies, the day something happens to the guy, they just turn around as if it's not the one they like. He has not asked them out. They are so not proud of him. Something as little as running in a football field and he takes last. The lady just turned. Cry! Brother has folded my hands. It's too early. What sort of... What is your concept of marriage? The brother has malaria and he vomits. And everybody is looking and you just start nauseating. You are feeling so discomforted. You are not ready for marriage. As simple as that. Is someone listening to me? I'm hurrying up because I want to talk on roles and codes of conduct. So a passion. Number two, the prophetic. God has also positioned the prophetic to help the man in locating the woman. The prophetic there means either prophecy or the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. And please, I must balance this. Because that's what brought the issue of vision. I saw a vision. I saw a dream. I saw this. Hallelujah. Hold on. Let me use the opportunity and balance something right now. Look up, everybody. God has not ordained you as a spiritual matchmaker, moving around and looking at people and say, Aaron, the lady you are sitting behind. Whether you see a vision or you have a dream about yourself or somebody else, it must be handled with utmost maturity because marriage is a great mystery. Are you getting my point now? You can go and meet an innocent lady and tell her, do you know that I saw my man looking at you? And all of a sudden, it becomes an artificial desire. Especially if it falls at a point in her life where she's vulnerable. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about, right? And then at that point, all of a sudden, this lady now begins to tie herself. And maybe let's assume my man is even minding his business with another lady. Is someone getting what I'm saying? Please be careful when it has to do with giving people prophecy. Don't stand with utmost authority and look and say, I have seen it. If it does not happen, God didn't call me. And the lady is waiting. Then she sees the guy's invitation card. What's the name? Aaron. Le Posé. And the lady is now wondering, oh God, what is going on? This is my husband here leaving me. Oh Lord, and people engage in all kinds of skills and spiritual activity in a bid to recover back. The kingdom does not leave us to confusion. Don't you, on another hand, neglect the place of the prophetic. There are so many people I've seen in my dreams and visions way before. In fact, when I saw it, they did not even know themselves. Even me, when I saw it, I was surprised. And by the hand of God, God came and connected them. You know why I'm saying this? When it comes to marriage, even prophecy can change. So, when you tie people, you now look and say, Kasham, stand up. It's a tall guy. One day he will sit down two seats close to you. Write it down. His name is Adrian. If you meet him, you have missed your husband. 5 years, Kasham is still going around, hoping, Adrian, where are you? Adrian is planning his wedding. Are you getting my point? Aaron now comes and says, it's Adrian. They told me Adrian. Fair guy. Adrian. Any dark guy that comes, I don't want. The guy is fair. Kasha must sit forever. No husband. Because somebody injected a wrong prophecy into her. Are you getting what I'm saying now? There are many of us who may be sitting down right now the way we are. Wrong prophecies. Wrong prophecies. Please be careful. It must be discerned and balanced carefully. Listen to me. Listen. It was God Himself that appointed Saul to be king. Is that true? It was the same God that now rejected Saul as king. True or false? It was God that appointed Moses to take God's people to the land flowing with milk and honey. Did God tell him he will not get there? Later on, it was the same God that stopped him. So be careful. That you saw a lady in a vision is no guarantee that you must marry her. There are many factors that must come together. Alignment. Are you getting my point? There is alignment. There is what? Parental approval. And all of these other factors. For others, maybe tribal differences or whatever it is. There are factors together. So it doesn't just make it work automatically. Please get this revelation. If you don't get it, you are going to fool yourself into error. However, under a guided atmosphere of the word and spiritual maturity, prophecy can be very powerful. Hallelujah. Prophecy can be powerful in helping you understand your spouse. Number three, please play, Mike. Divine connection, just like that. No vision, no nothing. Divine connection. For instance, we now give, come for me. MD just gives them a song to score together. He's doing his work as MD. But the Spirit of God. Come on now. The Spirit of God. Victorian worship team rehearsal. I'm not matchmaking. I'm just giving an example. Hallelujah. And in the course of the rehearsal, they have a course to discuss about life. And they find out that there is a connection in ideologies. All of a sudden, Femi supernaturally starts having credit. Favor, that's God cooperating with the event to happen. Somebody just sent 1.5, whereas they wouldn't have sent 1.5. Every time you pray towards that relationship, Taiwo now wants to go and eat by 2, but she's delayed to go by 4. The only seat left is the seat where Femi is sitting. Everybody say divine connection. Oh, it happens. Absolutely. It happens. They've been inviting you for Koinonia for how many years? Suddenly, 2014, God just brings you. They say, turn around and hug one another. And goodness, good. Destiny. It happens. Say it happens. Your wife is an usher now. Say amen. Very happy, sitting down, smiling, and see the wife blushing. Are you getting the point now? Let me tell you something. In the house of God, your wife is there. In the house of God, sister, your husband is there. The Bible says, he that lives by the altar should eat by the altar. I'll say it. By the end of today, we'll turn around and greet one another. You'll just greet one another and say, "Oh God, open my eyes. With this corporate anointing, open my eyes." The Bible says he broke bread and their eyes were opened. Alas, the sister you have been seeing every day. The Lord tells his son of man, the season has come. Aaron was moving around and he went to prayer band while the sister was praying. God was saying, just serve Ruth. You will soon go to Naomi's vineyard and serve. Do you know many of you, because of your marriage, God took you from, you got 200 and something, they didn't give you admission there. God relocated you and brought you in a season. Everybody say divine connection. That's how we meet destiny helpers. That's how many of you gave your life to Christ. You were strolling around and you heard a preacher preaching. You just said, "Let me enter and listen to the message." Divine connection. And you met destiny. That's how some of you came to Koinonia. It's one of the principles. In fact, let me tell you the truth. It's one of the strongest ways that couples are connected together. Serving in the house of God. So as you pray, you say, "Lord, connect me divinely." Oh my God. Watch again. So the parties involved in a true kingdom marriage, there are three parties involved. Everybody say three parties. Number one is the man. Number two is the woman who would become his wife. Number three is Jesus himself represented in the person of the Holy Spirit. In a kingdom marriage, you do not have two people alone. Please understand this. That means in a kingdom marriage, even the man is not the final authority. He submits to a government higher than him. This is the only way the values of the kingdom can be initiated and sustained. There are men that believe they are the Alpha and Omega, and they look at a lady and say, "Didn't I pay your dowry? I will beat you in this room and will lock the door here." When you know there is a third witness who can also deal with you. Now the man slaps her 2 weeks later, his hand and his leg cannot move again. And it's the same woman who will carry him to the hospital. Do you know the Bible said that on account of your faithfulness to your wife or not, you can stop your prayers from being answered. There are many people sweating in the bush, whereas the answer to their prayer is just diligence in honor of the wife. Please, brothers, understand that in a kingdom marriage, you are not the final authority. Although you are the head physically, but compared to Christ, you are also the bride. Are you following me now? Number three, if we just dwell here, it's all right. The roles. Now 5 verse 22. Please open your eyes. 5 verse 22. We'll start reading downward. God is about to distribute roles to the parties involved. He's about to give codes of conduct. Ladies, can you read this? 1, 2, read. The first three words, please. First three words. Are you ready? 1, 2, read. Submit what? Your money, your wivon, your ability to cook. It says submit what? See, to understand the gravity of this revelation, it says offer your body as a living sacrifice. It's the same word he's using here for the woman. Submit everything about you. Ladies need to hear this message. All this women alive movement that is going rebellion against men. We are the freedom fighters fighting for our rights. It must happen our way. The Bible says, wives, submit what? Are you seeing why you don't have a choice about submission? Your choice is the kind of head you submit to. So you must trust God for a head that is worth your total submission. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband the same way you submit yourself unto the Lord. That's a dangerous statement. I saw some people lying on the ground. Some of you were rolling on the floor. Some of you were lying down on the ground as a sign of submission and surrender. The Bible says, in that same way, if you are going to be a faithful wife, man, this statement is so ego-stinging, you need the grace of God. Are you seeing why it's a great mystery? Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband. In the same capacity, you come to Koinonia and you're worshipping and you don't care whether your weave-on falls or not. You are just giving him all the praise. And he's saying that same passion, transfer it to your husband. Are you saying that marriage is not a child's play? 23. For the husband, it gives you the reason why you should submit. Hallelujah. Let me tell you very quickly. Submit to your own husbands the same way. Why is the reason for submission? Or what is the reason for submission? He said, for the husband is what? Reason number one. Ladies, you are not equal in the home. You are equal in Christ. You are equal in creation. Based on the grace and the blessings of God, you are equal. But when it comes to marriage, the same way you and Jesus Christ, you are one with Christ in that marriage. But when it comes to your roles in the kingdom, when the gospel of the kingdom is taught, are you getting my point now? You understand that like a faithful bride, you must submit to your husband in all things. Are you getting my point? So although you are equal, you are not equal because you qualified. You are equal because he married you. He brought you into that oneness. So give him that honor. And then the Bible says something interesting again. It said, and he is the savior of the body. This is a dangerous statement. The man, what does it mean being a savior? It means he's the one who paid the price to make the marriage work. He paid the dowry. Although I hear that in Nigeria, there are some places where it's the women that do all kinds of things. I don't know what they believe in, honestly. But I'm teaching you the kingdom. In other words, give the man that honor for going to look for clothes and putting in Aaron. And buying one cow and dragging it to your mother's house. The Bible says submit to him in honor. Don't trivialize what he has done. Are you getting my point? On account of that price he paid, he traveled with you to the village to go and see all your relatives. They insulted him. He said, yes, sir. They said, lie down. He lay down. He did all kinds of things. Paid all kinds of transport fare for people. He said, because he has paid this price. Just like Christ paid the price to ransom us. He said, he paid that dowry that made you a wife. So don't trivialize it. Without dowry, without that price, there is no marriage. The man paid the dowry. And he said, in response to that, submit. The place is quiet right now. Kaya. But still on. Ladies, say in the name of Jesus. You don't want to say it. Say it too. In the name of Jesus, I receive grace to be submissive. Many of you have very bad attitude towards men, generally. Not to talk of the man who is your husband. You can shout at anybody. You can give it to anybody and don't care. Say me, they know I'm fire. Don't try me. I will give it to you. May God deliver you. Because this is not a mindset of the kingdom. Write it quickly, your prayer request during miracle service. Transformation. Transformation. 25. Guys, are you ready? Say yes. Alright, let's read. One, two, read. This is not you. Shout it with the same voice. One, two, read. Stop. Husbands, do what? It didn't say think about loving her. Husbands, love your wife. If the Bible stopped there, there would have been a big confusion. Because any man would have created his reference for love. Are you getting me? So you can say, I sent you 200 naira recharge card. Huh? What sort of nonsense is this? Didn't I try? The Bible said, I did not leave you to guess your concept of love. It said, even as what? Christ loved the church. Behold, I show you a mystery. Husbands, there is a standard that has been created. Everybody say a standard. Say it, a standard. Whether you are Igbo, whether you are Yoruba, whether you are Hausa, whether you are from wherever, there is a standard, an uncompromising, non-negotiable kingdom standard for every man to love his wife. Ladies, that's good news. You should clap and thank God for it, because he didn't leave some of these cruel men to their personal opinion. There are men, see, you see people around and you look, there's no love in them. And then it so happens that most of these men marry very good wives. Very good, godly wives. And the man comes. He cannot love her. He cannot do anything. Her job in the house is just to keep producing babies. Sexual intimacy is not necessarily love. That's why a man can sleep with a prostitute and pay her and pass her on the street and not even know. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Because God knew that many men would still argue it and complain. So he added to let you know, how did Christ love the church? Let's read on, brothers. One to read. He gave himself. You know what it means to give yourself? So it's not only the woman. The woman is submitting herself in everything. And the Bible says the man has to give himself. What does it mean to give himself? It means sacrifice. It means passion. It means build her and make her glorious spiritually, socially, physically, financially. Constrain yourself no matter what it takes to prove your love for your wife. Next verse, please, 26. Let's hurry up. Okay, 27, 28. I just want to jump. That he might present that bride. So as a man, if you are truly loving your wife, you should be able to present her as a bride. That glorious church, without having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you should be holy without blemish. These are exact standards God is giving a man. That there is a kingdom perspective of love that should be channeled to the woman. She should see passion from you to her. She should see the sacrifice you are making financially, spiritually, physically. If that is not done, brothers and sisters, you are not loving your wife. So you should only think of marriage when you are aware and prepared to play your role. Christ, the Bible says, Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that although he knew he was God, he thought it not to be equality, for the love that he had, are you getting my point? For his bride, the church, he came down to become a man, went through every price, through the beating of Gethsemane, through the nailing of the cross, the degradation and everything. He did it as a demonstration of his love. So when you tell a lady, I love you, she looks at your life to see the sacrifice. I'm busy. Please, I'm busy. I can't talk to you. Let me tell you. You always have time for what you love. Always. Sisters, when a guy starts being unnecessary and busy, it's a sign to sit down and talk. Thank you, Jesus. As simple as these things are, they will produce award-winning homes if you abide by them. Summarizing, what is the role of the wife? To love with such passion and to submit in everything. The Bible says that submit in everything. I think that's verse 29. Is that 29? Yes, I think so. Okay, no. One of the scriptures anyway, I cannot find exactly where it is. But it says submit in everything. Ladies, say everything. Now, that's a very dangerous statement. Submit your body. Submit your finances. Finance has caused big trouble. My mother was gisting me of a wedding that happened in Jos. In 24 hours, the wedding scattered. As they went to the hotel room, they didn't even give thanks. The lady just said, the money that was collected, he said, most of the people came because of me. I hardly saw your people there. So the money that was raised, please, for peace to reign, just channel it to me. And the guy said, you will know I paid your dowry. That was it. Case closed. She packed her things like she was joking and left. Submitting everything. There are women that password their phones from their husbands. This section is passworded. And they call the name of the rich man. Rachel. Or Mary. Hello Mary, how are you? And they run away. Okay, why are you calling me by this time? The Bible says that is called unfaithfulness. Some of you are already starting it in your relationship. Somebody will say, give my phone please. Must you check everything? When there is transparency and truth. Are you getting my point now? The Bible says, he who walks in the light will not stumble. Especially this our generation. We have a lot of hidden skeletons. So many things. A lady is in a relationship. The guy is there daydreaming, hoping to marry her. Whereas there are five or six different people. One gives money in January. The other one gives money in February. The other one gives money in March. By April, the first one can repeat. The cycle repeats again. Don't laugh. Because as we are seated here, I know this is the house of God. There are people right now in this situation. You want to be a faithful bride. Hallelujah. Your commitment. Submit in everything. Submit in everything. If it's your husband, it's your husband. You don't need to know how much is in my account. The Bible says submit in everything. Your body. Everything. I had a story of a woman who doesn't allow her husband to meet with her until he pays her. Yeah. Said he's a stingy man. So I know exactly how to get money from him. You may be justified. They may clap for you. But you are violating the ordinance of marriage in the kingdom. And don't you think God will spare you because the man is irresponsible. Remember, there is a third witness in that marriage. That's why I told you it's not just two people alone. There is a third witness. Husband, as you slap your wife, there is a third witness. Woman, as you cheat on your husband, there is a third witness. Let me start from relationship. As we play games with one another in relationship, Some of you ladies in the hostel, you call the guy and you put the phone on loudspeaker and he's just communicating his love and you are laughing. The remaining people laughing. They are just laughing and say, really, I love you too. And the guy says, I love you. And you are just laughing at him. There is a third witness. There is a third witness. There is a third witness. The guy is there planning and praying, putting on his Facebook, so is my wife, and you are now laughing. From day one, you never planned to get married to him. See, I will suck this guy dry like this thing. That is stingy hand. I must open it. You have done introduction. The person does not know. Let me tell you, it's not fair. It's called harlotry. It's a great mystery. Faithfulness is very important. It's a different thing if the relationship does not work, but that you are willingly, consciously unfaithful. It doesn't work that way. Many of us say, gather them plenty, just gather. The Bible says, in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, sow your seed. You don't know which one you will reap from. Continue. When all the seeds grow, I don't know which one you will keep. I lift my hands in worship. As I sing glory to your name. Listen, the Bible says submit in everything. Submit your mindset. Ladies say submit your mindset. I must deal with the issue of mindset. If I cannot finish this topic today, listen. Brothers and sisters, I don't care whether you saw a star falling and hit a sister and fell on you too to prove that's your wife. If your mindsets do not agree, your marriage will not work. Can two work together? Amos 3 verse 3. The man will not bend his mindset to meet you. Just like Christ will not submit his mindset to your Igbo culture or Yoruba culture or Hausa culture or Plateau culture or Benue culture or Kogi culture. You will have to submit. We call that repentance. You submit your mindset. There are many stubborn wives in the world today who come with their ideologies. The family, for instance, may have just 5,000 naira coming in a month. And the woman can come and say, Mio, I don't wear 2,500 naira wrapper. If it's not this, it's not that. The husband is saying, don't worry. God is faithful. He will help us. So I don't buy chicken that, you know, I don't do all of these things. Submit your mindset. Everybody say submit your mindset. In the little time that I have counseling people, one of the biggest issues I've seen in relationship is not that the marriage is not workable, but both parties are not yet willing to bend and submit their mindset. Everybody say mindset. Say mindset. You must submit your mindset. There are ladies who have all kinds of poisonous mindsets. Your concept of love is spend lavishly as unto them. Even if it's to borrow, just borrow. I want gifts every day. If in 2 days he does not send recharge card, this guy doesn't love me. God forbid you delete his number. What sort of life are you living? That's a mindset that must come under scrutiny. Many of you are looking at me frowning. You've not started. You better look at me well. Because I will press this thing like an iron till it stays. The brother is working hard, trying to save a little. You have started announcing your birthday in September from February. This guy is already being under pressure. What is this lady saying now, in essence? I want to come for Koinonia and it's raining. The guy says, okay, let me arrange a small bike for you. Just cut the phone. Bike. Don't look for a taxi to carry me. What sort of life is that? Everybody says submit in everything. This thing is paining many ladies. I will say it. I love you too much. Because that mindset is what has pushed many of us. It's a mindset. We have suffered a lot of things. And you believe that the man is a scapegoat that will make you feel happy. What they didn't give you at home, in your own father's house, you want to yoke the man now to give you by force. They give you 5,000 naira pocket money. The guy is giving you 40,000. It's not enough. You know my needs are increasing. Ah. The guy just calculates and says, ah, this relationship is just 6 months. My back is already paining me. What sort of thing is this? Don't let society make you feel this is a pattern. I'm teaching you the way of the kingdom. Listen. If you are ashamed of being desperate about your relationship and putting your hands on deck to work it together, you can as well pack up from now. There are many ladies who do not want to show any sign of passion and desperation in their relationship. They call it being cheap. So when it's time to put their hands, they feel embarrassed by it. Let the guy not think I'm too cheap. It's the same thing that happens. So when there's anything, he says, in fact, you know that Joseph guy, you have started calling again. Oh, you are now threatening the guy. The guy now goes to say, please, Sam, borrow me 5,000. Say, Tom, I got this little one. Say, Tom, although it's not enough, oh, but Tom, honestly, and Joseph wanted to give me 15,000. Oh, I'm not, don't feel bad. I'm just saying it to let you see how much I'm committed in this relationship. What sort of threat is that? Somebody is being delivered this night in the name of Jesus. A woman of honor and dignity is a woman that defends the interest of the man. A man can meet you with 100,000 and you will say, I have made up my mind. I will drink garri with this one. We have 200 naira. How much do you have? 50 naira. Buy sugar with your own. Let me buy garri and we'll sit down. And while you take it together, you tell her, I may not be able to show you anything now, but I assure you, as surely as the God of heaven lives, with this word and these principles, you will smile one day. And the lady says, thank God, I know things will change in the future, but it's not because I'm trusting for future. Even if it does not change, it's a decision by revelation. Sister, the greatest thing you can do to a man in your life is to let him know, make him feel secure the way he is. Not complacent, but let him know that it's not what he's giving you, that you love him with passion. And you can come and tell him, somebody offered me to eat in the restaurant, but I came. Help him soak the garri, put the cold water there, and say, Lord, we thank you because you are changing our lives. When I said I love you, I meant it. I know you are a man of destiny. You are going somewhere. It may not look like it. Please don't be under any pressure. I know that I had to help you with 500 naira, but I love you and I honor you. You have given that man energy to arise and run. Many ladies are killing their relationships with wrong mindsets. Then when another lady starts doing to the man what you have refused to do, the guy leaves you with your expensive life and your life of no gratitude. You feel it's an embarrassment. He bought with bond for you. You laughed and said, oh God, there are two types. This type is fake. Yusef Nawa for you. This guy for the first time went to the market, strolled around like a fool in the market looking for Wivon. God's word, yes, it was fake, but didn't he try? And he brought it. And you now put it and say, Tor, well, let me tell you the truth. I'm not going to put it to. I'm telling you straight, but Tor, may God help you. You are not doing bad. Look at. Because he asked you out, all of a sudden, that brother will leave you and come for fellowship like this. And then the first thing is he sees a sister who says, good evening. The brother has never gotten that kind of thing from you. And the lady looks and there's water and says, sorry, wait, don't sit yet. And she cleans the chair. The brother says, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, I came for coin. Listen. I'm being sincere with you tonight. Hallelujah. At the end of the meeting, the lady is using please, I'm sorry, thank you. Remember all those words. And after everything, this brother goes to the room and he's fighting thoughts. Oh Lord, why can I not have this lady behave like this? Then the sister sends a text. May the Lord uphold you and make you a mighty man. Let your seed be mighty upon the earth. Immediately is receiving it. Madam now sends her own. Oga Alpha, it's 11 o'clock, you have not called. And it's contrasting. And this guy is saying, Kai, oh God, I'm already getting to a point where I need to come to terms with myself. Brothers, am I speaking, please? Sisters, this is what you are causing a lot of brothers without knowing. The brother has 500 naira. You go to buy suya. You know he has 500 naira. You just carry 5. Say, put the yaji on top. Cut it. Whereas this brother was saving 100 naira. Maybe to take pap and yam later on. You are causing pain to this guy. Then he goes to meet another lady who says, look. I know you confided in me and you let me know things are not going on well. This recharge card you sent, I know you tried, but I know that you are paying the price. It's too much. Look, I'm very comfortable. God bless you. Before you know it, should I tell you what will happen? When you finish quarreling that guy, he will call the lady who is behaving virtuous. When he starts reporting you, you're already in trouble. Red card is already ticking. Once he starts reporting you to the virtuous lady, something is already going wrong. And then the lady worsens the situation. She says, well, let's pray for this other one. Ah, added virtue. Added virtue. Sisters, I'm sharing with you sincere secrets. Submit your mindset. Submit your mindset. There's no time. Maybe another time we'll take on the men. Men, you know I always balance equations. Hallelujah. It's very important. Could it be that there is a sister sitting down here on her way to destroying her marriage? Because there is no submission. You shout at the man any day, any time. Blast him. And say, after all, you are not even among the 5 people that came close to me. If not because of all this Christian thing, what will make me come and talk to you? And the brother leaves heartbroken. And the brother is now thinking, multiply this experience times 20 years. Multiply it times 30 years. This one, I've not become rich. This girl is already killing me. The day she becomes Madame Nko, that means you enter any of the jeeps. When they buy the new jeep and they say, leave it, let's dedicate it, say, that's the one I must drive. Look, sisters, when you see this lust, this bossy, domineering attitude, is the hand of Satan on his way to destroy your relationship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are going to pray. You must submit. If you are not interested in submission, don't get married. Don't get into a relationship. There is a beautiful position. Men honor those below them. They respect and they cherish those above them. They fight those who claim equality with them. When you maintain this beautiful position, it's not making you weak. Ladies, learn to speak to your man. Learn to honor him. Send him text messages of dignity. Listen, many of you don't know what it means to be a man. It's bigger than bringing children into the world. The responsibility. When all of you pray for the rent, you say in Jesus' name, I saw a vision, rent is coming, you go to bed. It's left for the man to translate that vision into reality. We hardly remember Father's Day. We remember Mother's Day. When it's Father's Day, we forget the fathers. These are the men that labor. Let me tell you, you don't know what it means to be a man. You're sitting down, there are school fees. There are all kinds of things. Please, ladies, respect men. Respect these brothers you see. They may be foolish, but respect them. They may sound naive. God knows why He put them in that position. When you maintain that posture, you're on your way to entering a godly relationship. It cannot always be your way. Write it. There are many ladies, if it's not your way, to hell with it. Change tonight. Change tonight. If Tywo says we should go this way, and I say we should go this way, both of us must be able to submit to the word of God. If the word of God says two of you come this way, we should not be embarrassed to tilt and bend to this third witness, the most authority above us. Is someone learning something tonight? This is how to become a woman of virtue. I submit to you, many of the ladies in our generation are not virtuous ladies. Please don't feel offended. I honestly submit to you, under God and without any bias, the average lady, including in the church, they are not virtuous. They are godly, but they are not virtuous. This is why it looks like marriage is very difficult. No man wants a liability in his life, sisters. And you better listen to what I'm saying. Could it be the reason why some of us have not had a husband or somebody come into your life? You are rude at everybody. You can't greet anybody. Whenever you want to be, say, please, let people not think I'm doing notice me, I'm being desperate. Please, me so I have dignity. Dr. Mrs. Becky Enenche is one woman that I have come to model. There are two women that mentor me as far as the character of family and how a woman should be at in the house. One is Dr. Mrs. Becky Enenche. The other one is Reverend Mrs. Funke Felix Adejumo. These two women have demonstrated to me the most authentic revelation of womanhood. And it has helped me to submit to Christ. You see why many believers do not have authentic power. They have not submitted to Christ in everything. They believe in God, but they have not submitted. You have not submitted your finances. You've not submitted your body. God tells you to go on a 3-day fast. Lord, I want my comfort. You already died to set me free. Why do I need to die again? There is no submission. Are you seeing how it relates to Christ and the church? Like a faithful bride. That's why most of the songs that I write songs that connote my submission. I sing songs that connote his authority. It's not because I don't know that I am one with him. When you come into the kingdom, you will drop down as a woman. That means every man who truly walks with God should be able to understand a woman, because that is really what he is in the spirit too. Like women, there are times we are stubborn and we have all kinds of mood swings. But like a loving husband, God understands. There are times we even yell at him, just like a lady will yell at the guy she's going out with or the husband. Even call him stupid. But God looks at our hearts, not our actions. And while you are insulting him and saying, God, I'm disappointed, you let this happen to me, God just keeps quiet. Men, learn this. When God is silent, he's about to speak. When you're a man who talks too much, you are not strong. Great men are men of few words. Let the woman be ranting. When she finishes, you calm down. That's a man talking. You too, you join, you start talking, then you start crying too. Too bright. You must sustain strength and stability. Hallelujah. They are coming to drive you out of the house. There's no rent. The woman has cried and done everything. Even gets angry and says, I told you to get that job. You didn't get that job. And the man keeps quiet. And later, he now calls her. And when he's calling her, she's afraid. Because she's thinking he's going to give her a dirty slap or something. And the man says, look, I understand. I know what you're going through. And I'm sorry. And she's flattered and embarrassed. And her perception about the man is changing. Is this not what Jesus Christ does to you? After we do all the nonsense that we do, we run to him. And when we run to him like the prodigal son, he doesn't stand us out and say, go back. He says, come. Hallelujah. Husbands, you must love your wife unto death. You must sacrifice unto death. Jesus modeled that and showed it to us. He is always responsible. Wives, you must honor your husband. I didn't say that. Let me add it. Husbands, when a woman submits to you, you must show forth a level of responsibility that justifies that submission. Are you getting my point? When you keep starving a woman every day and say, that's how Nigeria is. She gets up to go and look for something. And the man, and please, don't get me wrong, but I need to talk to some of us who are from the north. Because it's generally believed that the north and the middle belters have shown quite a strong level of irresponsibility. We get married to a lady, pay the dowry and throw her away. And we say, we need 3 more children in this household. And the woman is saying, for who to feed? You see a woman going to the farm. We went for a meeting in a particular place, I won't mention, in Nigeria. And I saw women riding bicycles. They are the ones carrying firewood and doing everything. And I saw the men. They just sat down with their pot bellies, just taking beer and gisting around their neighborhood. I said, what gross irresponsibility of the highest order. Listen, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you may not get a job now, but are you reading books? You may not get a job now. Can't you get up and make yourself productive? Stop taking the lady for granted. Yes, she has humbled herself and you are drinking garri together. But do you want to keep drinking garri forever? Don't stretch her generosity. Ladies, shout and tell the guys, wake up. Say it. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Many of us are not doing anything. There is none of us here who is young. Young enough to begin to plan your life. What books are you reading? What are you doing about your finances? Have you read any book on fatherhood? We are going to round up. All the brothers, stand up. Lift your right hand. And let's trust God for grace. We must correct what is happening in the family. Don't feel embarrassed about it. I preach like this. I don't shout out of annoyance. It's out of passion. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to be a responsible husband, to be a responsible father, to be a responsible leader. I receive grace to pay the price now and build my spiritual life and build my leadership life and build my family life and build my financial life. My wife will call me blessed. My children will call me blessed. My generation will call me blessed. My home will be a model home. May God bless you. And may He make this confession become true in your life. In the future, don't forget that you stood before God's people and lifted your hands. When it's 10 years down the line, when young men become Draculas in their house, remember you made a commitment now. I will preach it while I have access to you. All the men that are killing their wives, many of us here, over 70%, we grew under hostile homes. Our fathers were Draculas. They practically abused us. It took the grace of God for God to navigate the way. You cannot park in the same parking lot your parents parked and expect a different result. You must take a decision now. And that decision is not by faith. You will begin to walk at it. No more joking around. You are in a relationship. You cannot be doing calls from morning to night. Let there be a time you are reading book. Go on YouTube. Study on establishment. Study on godly parenting. There's no time. Well, our time is already spent. Maybe I'll touch a bit next week before we go into another topic. Please make that commitment. I listened to a message some weeks ago maybe about 2 weeks by Dr. Miles Monroe on fatherhood. When I listened to that message, I got down on my knees and I cried. I said, Lord, even at this point, I am not satisfied. I want to be an award-winning husband. I want to be an award-winning father. I want my children not to run away when they hear the horn of my car. I want them to stand outside rejoicing that when my children don't see me for 6 hours, they miss me. Many of you have not been home in years and you are not missing anybody because of the pain you have gone through. You were busy insulting your father. Now, in a few weeks or few months or few years, it will now be your turn. You're already emulating the mindset that you live under. That's why God brought you to Koinonia, to change you. Jesus is a responsible person. As that husband, he gives you breath. He grants you favor. He forgives. He understands that you are weak. Like the woman who is called a weaker vessel, he knows that your frame is human and that there are some things you cannot take. You must begin to show compassion, brothers. Show compassion to these sisters. Many of you are bullies. You bully every lady around you. Many of you are in relationships and your relationship has all kinds of tension. Nobody can talk to you. You don't listen to anybody's opinion. You do it as you please. You want the lady to come to your place. Where are you? Come now. Come now. I don't want to hear anything. You better change. Better change. I show you a great mystery. I show you a great mystery. God has never failed in his responsibility as a faithful husband. God has been faithful to an extent that after his finished work, he still sat down at the right hand making intercession for the saints. How many of you have given excuses for your wives? How many have given excuses for the lady? You stand with the lady you are going out with, tearing her into pieces in the presence of other ladies. And so she lacks the dignity. Can I tell you something, brothers? You, the lady, your wife, is a reflection of the honor you have put on her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your wife, just like the church, is the reflection of the honor that Christ has put upon us. He has made us head over principalities and powers. He gave us dominion. You must bring your wife to be a partaker of your honor and dominion. You see certain men, millionaires, great men, and you now see their wives, wretched, trekking around, whereas they have 4 cars at home. I show you a mystery. Never do to any woman what Jesus Christ did not do to you. Write it, brothers. Never do to any woman what Jesus Christ didn't do to you. It's wrong, it's ungodly. Please sit down. Ladies, please stand up. We're going to pray. All ladies, our sisters, please kindly stand up. This is a very prophetic commitment. Married or not married, please stand up. Lift your hands. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to be a woman of excellence, to be a woman of virtue, to be a woman desperate to make my marriage work. Say it. To be a woman that represents godliness. To be a woman that reflects the image of the perfect church. I receive grace to be submissive. I receive grace to be temperate. I receive grace to be modest. I receive grace to be virtuous. I receive grace for self-control. I receive grace to love my husband, to submit to him. My children will call me blessed. There's no fear in my home. There's no tension in my home. I embrace the mindset of the kingdom. And I refute any mindset that makes me short of being the perfect bride. May the Lord bless you. See, let me tell you, in the years to come, when we celebrate godly children, when we celebrate the grace of God, we will meet again in future. And many of you will thank me for this, because your home will be a tension-free zone. I vowed from a very young age that some of the things I suffered growing up, my children will never ever have to go through it. It's a pledge before the God whom I serve. Brothers, don't carry any man's daughter to your house and jeopardize the remaining part of her life. It's better to remain single. God will honor you for it. Especially those of us in ministry. If you are getting into ministry, listen very well. Because ministers have a lot of tendencies. Everyone rise up on your feet. In 1 minute before we pray. Hallelujah. Just play it softly. Please, I want everybody to think for 1 minute. Have your relationship with Jesus Christ been like that of a faithful bride and her husband? So all of us are brides now. I want you to reflect in 1 minute. Is the mystery of marriage at work in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you truly say you have been a faithful bride, submitting to Him in all things, not just believing Him? Many of us have submitted our finances, but not our bodies. We are still playing harlotry with God. Many of us, I wish I had time, I would have taught on the faithful bride. There's still another part of the teaching, in fact, a major part, because I wanted to talk about spiritual fornication, the concept, how that marriage, I needed us to understand the purpose of marriage, how that the purpose of marriage brings about oneness. And marriage from the Bible is an antidote to a life of fornication. Just like commitment to God is the antidote to going around and mixing spirituality with witchcraft, and mixing it, becoming a faithful bride that submits. God will grant us grace. But I want you to think, your relationship with Jesus Christ. There are many of us, you cannot say you have been faithful. Imagine yourself as a woman right now. Have you been faithful to this husband that has never failed? Imagine a man in your life who cannot fail. Imagine a man in your life who loves you more than your wildest imagination. That in spite of our harlotry, he has been faithful. Please listen, we are about to pray. Now I want you to imagine, everybody, for 1 minute. What kind of home do you see yourself building? Especially our brothers. I want you to imagine right now. What do you see your children calling you in the next 10 years? A disaster in their life or a gift? What do you see happening? Sisters, what do you see your husband calling you after 5 years? Can he look at you and say, even if I missed out on the will of God, I know I did not. I never made a mistake. Will a brother look at you after 10 years and be crying every day and said, I missed it. Oh God, I missed it. There's one of my friends, quite an elderly friend of mine. Every time he talks to me about marriage, he tells me something. He said, I missed it in my marriage. Make sure you do not miss it. This man loves the Lord with all his heart. I'm telling you, I have never seen, I thought I was a giver till I met that man. That man dwarfed my giving life by a factor that got me scared. And I said, how could such a nice man make a mistake in his marriage? See, if you need to go for a retreat over your relationship, let me even talk to you. If you are in a relationship, if you are married, well, that's all right. But if you are in a relationship that you know is not going anywhere, don't feel embarrassed. and say, people have already seen me with the guy. What do I tell people? If there is need to go for a retreat, let me tell you right now. The sign are the periodic checks that come to your heart here and again. Those things are the voice of God calling you to go and flog things out. There's no perfect relationship, but there are godly relationships. Go back to God and flog it out with destiny. So that if in case it was because of the guy's money or your perception of his anointing, that's what drove you, you better find a solid reason right now that can last for eternity. And there are many of us here, sisters, God is speaking to you. Godly men come and keep asking you out. You know the food that they are receiving, the spiritual nourishment. I'm not talking about careless people who parade in a crowd like this as believers. A godly man comes to your life. You keep posting and pushing everybody. Instead of going home to pray, build compatibility and settle down maritally, you keep pushing everybody around. Only to find out that life is like a graph. There is a peak period of your life. There is a level you get to where all the men who would have married you are already married. At that point, you don't have options again. And there are some of us brothers, you keep parading ladies around you, believing that you are a fine guy, you are a charismatic guy. Because of your anointing, there are all kinds of ladies parading around you. You have promised all of them that you are thinking about it. And you are feeling hot. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You have stopped those sisters. They have said no to every brother waiting for you because you gave them assurance that you are coming. It's time to think about your life this night. Think about your life this night. Do not make commitment to any man's daughter that you do not plan to go far with. Hallelujah. Now lift your voice and ask for grace. First, to be a faithful bride. This is the secret of spiritual power. We're out of time, but I want you to pray. Please pray. This is the most important commitment. No matter what it is that you want to do, just give yourself some time and pray. Lord, I receive grace to be a faithful bride. I submit to you. I submit my body. I submit my body. I submit my mortal physical body. It will not be used as an instrument of fornication. It will not be used as an instrument of spiritual harlotry. I submit. Thou husband, faithful husband of my life, like a faithful bride, I minister to your needs. The Bible says, our desire shall be to our husband. My desire is only to my King. My desire is only to my Lord. My desire is only the one who paid the dowry to make me a bride. I cannot look at any other God again. I am fulfilled. I am satisfied. There may be many gods working magic, but I am committed to be a faithful bride. When things go well, and when things don't go well, I have pledged my allegiance like a faithful bride. I submit to you. When ministry goes well, I still submit to you. When you give me prosperity, I submit to you. Make a decision. It's not enough to believe in God. When you come to the kingdom, you submit. Hallelujah. Now you are going to pray. You are still praying as a bride. You are going to say, Lord, tonight I submit my mentality. I submit my mentality. Lift your voice and pray. You are not just a husband that is there to meet my needs. You also have needs. I'm sorry for embracing a mindset that only thinks about myself, my money, my marriage, my exams, my academics, my ministry. Many of us have been unfaithful brides. We forget that God, as a husband, also has a need to be honored, a need to be believed, a need to be trusted, a need to be represented. Hallelujah. Make up your mind tonight to truly submit to God in everything. One last prayer point. We're going to pray right now. You're going to say, Lord, my marriage will not fail because of me. I won't be the reason why my relationship will fail. Guys keep coming into my life and everybody is complaining. The problem is not the men, the problem is me. Help me, oh God. Pray, guys. You have entered 12 relationships. None is working. I assure you, the problem is not the guy. The problem is you. Pray. I receive grace to play my role. Sisters, pray. I don't see submission as an embarrassment again. I submit my mindset. I submit my ideologies. I serve the man. He enjoys my presence. My desire is unto him. I put my hand on the plow. I'm determined to make my relationship work. Hallelujah. Father, we trust you for marriages in this place that only reflect Christ and his church. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy to every dying marriage, may the hand of the Lord come upon you. Every family facing any kind of marital tension, I stretch my hands and I pray that the mercy of God comes into that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, let me recommend two books very quickly. Hallelujah. Please, every lady should read this before she gets married. I've forgotten, I think 15 plus 1. 15 plus 1 secrets of a successful marriage. I think something like that. Dr. Mrs. Becky Enenche, please, I kneel down and I beg you, go and get it. Get it. If Oga Jordan is here, call Oga Jordan. Tell him to branch Abuja as he comes back from Lagos and buy it. Brothers, read The Principle of Fatherhood by Miles Monroe. The Principle of Fatherhood. By next week, media, I will download a very important video. Please, next week, all the brothers, you can collect it. There's a video on fatherhood. Very serious video. I think it's about 1 hour, 30 minutes. We'll download it and you'll be free. Just come with a flash drive we'll give you. You can sit down with your friends and listen to it. Hallelujah. You're worshiping with us for the first time. Please rise up on your feet and come out. Very quickly. God bless you. We love you. Please, very quickly, very quickly. Thank you for coming. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. This is home for you. God bless you. Celebrate them as they come inside and outside. We have a prayer and a blessing for you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Keep coming. Those of you worshiping with us for the first time, we love you, we honor you. Thank you so much for coming. This is Koinonia. Bless you for coming. You will never be the same in the name of Jesus Christ. Stretch your hands, saints of God, as we pray for them. Prophesy blessings upon them. Your life will reflect this spiritual marriage of faithfulness and submission. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we declare that you are blessed. You are blessed in your going out. You are blessed in your coming in. All that you do is blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. We bless you with the blessings of the heavens and with the blessings of the house.